1 Corinthians chapter number 15, beginning at verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I want to talk to you for a little while here tonight about success. Amen. Success. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God of heaven. Oh, we need you, sweet Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need your spirit. We need your help. We need your mind, oh Lord God. Your presence, Lord Jesus. Your power, your favor, Lord Jesus. Oh, your utterance, oh Lord God. All thy getting. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Was looking at a subject that I thought would be widely used throughout the Bible, and thought that it would probably have several, or at least 100, if not several hundred different hits upon it, and where I understand that the principle is there, the word is not. And so when I looked up the word victory in concordance, I was shocked to find out that the word victory is only used 12 times in all of Scripture. And it's not used at all until, I believe, it's 2 Samuel. It's the first time that the word victory is used. And the word victory just simply translates out as triumph. And there is another word that is used for victory. It is the same verbiage, the same tense. Or I should say actually a little different tense, but in the same line of word. And it has the meaning of success. We know that victory and success can be close to being synonymous. Nevertheless, they do have their differences. 12 times in all of Scripture is the word victory used. 3 times, so a quarter of those times is right at a quarter of those times is found right here in our text. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Praise God. Amen. And so the past several weeks I've been reading a book, and it is more of a, how do we say this? It's more of a scholastical book. It's not a fun reading book. It's not an easy reading book. It is a book on some thesis, and so it takes a little bit of time and takes some thought process to put into it, just talking about success. And some things have captivated and captured my attention, because throughout all of life, there is probably nobody that would raise their hand and say, you know what, I just want to be a failure. But probably 100% of everybody, even deep down, some people would try to be manly and say, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But you know what? I beg to differ with them. There is something about a man's psyche that really cannot stand defeat. There's just something about him that no man likes to lose. He doesn't have to be so adamant and loud, and he can be more laid back. But yet still, that does not mean that he likes to lose. Nobody likes to lose. I'll just tell you this right now. Grandpas don't like to lose. You can call them grandkids. You can call them whatever you want to. We still don't like to lose. Grandmas may fuss at us and say, just let them win sometime. That's hard. That can be tough. We don't like to lose. Amen. And it's something about growing young men and challenging young men and stuff. And so I would ask you and ask myself here tonight, what is the definition of success? What would we call success? And I just want to simply throw out a few things to you. And you think about this. But when it comes to different things in life, it's easy to measure success. Because there are integrals. There are different measurements. Numerical measurements of some kind, of some sort and stuff that you can measure success by. If you were going to get into lifting weights, every weight that you would put on that bar has a number somewhere or another applied to it, stamped on it, engraved in it, whatever, but there is a number that is implied to it. That bar holds a number, even though that the number may not be upon it. Some bars really don't have any weight, maybe 5 or 10 pounds to them, but there are other bars that typically on an average weigh somewhere between 35, but most average is 45 pounds, and that's a known thing. But every plate that you put on it has an applied numerical value to it, whether it is 2.5 pounds, 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 25 pounds, 45 pounds, or 100 pounds, you can put on that, and everything begins to add up. And you can measure your success by the amount of weight that you lift, or you can measure your success by the number of repetitions that you do. And so if you only do 3 repetitions this day, and next week you do 5 repetitions, you are being successful. You're deemed successful. If you were able to do 100 pounds this week, and next week you could do 105 or 110, you can label that and see your rate of success that is in there. If you were running track, and if you were all things there considered, there are measurements of time that are applied in all of that. Whether you're running a short dash, running a 100-yard dash, 200 hurdles, 440, 1 mile, whatever, but there is a time factor that can measure that success. And so you can run it today, and you can say, I ran that in 12 seconds. And if in a few weeks you time yourself again and see that you've ran it in 11 seconds, you realize that you are being successful in what you are doing. If you run a business, you have bars and measurements that you can measure against. But in this wise, it becomes a little more difficult to really get true assessment and true measurements. One of the things that you would have to do is maybe evaluate quarter to quarter, maybe evaluate year by year. And at the end of this year, go back and look at last year and say, according to last year, I was more successful. According to the last quarter, I was more successful. I gained more money. But what if there was other expenses that was incurred because of your business, or maybe you branched out, maybe you opened a different part, or maybe you purchased something that in the long run it's going to pay off, but it was a major purchase in this. And so this quarter might look like you lost money, but in reality you have actually been successful because you gained a place that you was able to purchase what you needed to take you to the next step. And so it isn't necessarily in a managerial spot or in a business point of view that it's the bottom lines that dictate or tell the tale that you are successful. Amen. So many different things in life that can be easy to determine whether you are successful or not. But then there is another level that you really have to begin to ponder and think about it and say, well, how did all of this come about? And with this, do I classify myself as successful? But beyond all of that, there is another realm that no matter what you do, amen, it is very, very hard to determine if you are successful. There's too many variables that are applied in life. There's too many things that can be thrown your way. And how you respond to them, when you respond to them, all dictates whether or not you are successful. Praise God. I would say that in the life of every pastor, number one, there is a great desire to be successful. The world's definition of success would be that do I have more people now than I did 1 year ago? And or you know, do we have more people now than we had 5 years ago? I'm throwing this out there because we're sitting at a five-year anniversary mark, just passed it this past Tuesday. But nevertheless, there are that there. And so when you begin to look at that and the numeric value that is placed upon that, it's too often that you can say, you know what, I'm not successful. And I'm not being as successful as I would like to be. And probably the majority of all pastors would tell you, I'm not as successful as I would like to be. Amen. And this goes for the saint of God too as well. There's a lot of things in your life that you have to cross, some rivers that you have to cross, times that you have to get through. There are hardships that you have to come through. And you may not feel like you've been very successful in getting through them. You may have gotten through them, but you may look back on it and say, what a failure I was, because I didn't get through it like I should have gotten through it. That bothered me too much. That bothered me more than it should have bothered me. I don't feel like I was successful. I use the scripture that I've used tonight as a text because I want to emphasize to everybody in here that the value of success in our walk with God and within our life is literally determined by God. He is the judge. When you get into a moment of trying to define success among peers, among friends, and even among enemies, your enemies may say that you have been successful, and other enemies will be quick to say that you were a failure, and they'll point out your flaws and your shortcomings and stuff. Your friends can quickly say that you are a success by looking past your flaws and your shortcomings. Your peers may be more honest with you and address your shortcomings and faults, but yet say you've been a success. And so the final answer of being a success lays in the hands of a biased judge, an opinionated judge. Whomever that you are talking with, they have biases that they are persuaded by, they are swayed by, or they have opinions. And they have different values of life, different values of success. And whereas you may feel like you have not been very successful in what you have done, amen, your peers may say, you know what? According to where you are now, you have been extremely successful. And we need those moments of people talking to us and helping us and the power of positive thinking that is involved in that and helping us and telling us, you know what? You're doing better than you realize. Because sometimes we can be our worst critics. But I'm thankful that we don't have a biased judge necessarily. I don't have an opinionated judge. What I have is a righteous judge. I have a righteous judge. And a righteous judge is going to tell me the truth. And he's going to help me. And he's not just going to give the verdict, but he's also going to give reality of how that I can do better and how that I can be better. And the truth, as the Word of God says, is going to help me. It's going to set me free. Amen. But thank God it's going to help me. Because the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that it was for him that endures unto the end, they shall be saved. I want to emphasize here tonight that you are going to have your fair share of knocks and bruises. You're going to have your fair share of losses. You're going to have your fair share of life and the realities of life. And that life isn't very fair oftentimes. And it's because you've got an adversary that's doing everything that he can to try to cause you to be a failure and to cause you to quit. And there are things that are going to present themselves to you that you're not going to have time to think about really, but you're going to react to them quickly. And when it's all said and done, you're going to go back and you're going to say, I was a failure because I didn't react to that situation like I needed to react. I want you to know today that you're not a failure because that you didn't react to a situation like you needed to react. The fact that you understand that you didn't react to the situation like you needed to act shows that you are on the road to success. I want to present this to you. Not all forward progress is success. Because if you miss the turn and you yet deny that you missed the turn and you continue to go straight, you are becoming more and more of a failure every day that you live. But to admit and say, you know what? I need to stop right here because I missed something. And I need to back up and I need to reevaluate some things. And going backwards can equate to being more successful than continuing forward and ignoring the mistake that you did. We can be hard-headed at times. And we can get in our mind, you know, that, and I'm not even going to say that we even consider ourselves right. Because there's a lot of times that we may consider ourselves wrong. But we're just so dogmatic and so hard-headed that we refuse to go back and change something. And sometimes you don't even have to admit that you're wrong. You're the only one that knew it. But to back up goes against the grain. I'm just going to keep pressing forward until I become successful. And what you're going to become is you're going to become more despondent, more in despair, and more deeper in depression because you're continuing to dig yourself into the hole. What is extremely essential is that we recognize areas that we may have made a wrong thing. And maybe you didn't make the wrong mistake, but there's nothing wrong at times to go back and to evaluate and say, I just want to double check some things. Was listening to an EOD technician talk about bomb making and stuff, and he said that in all of his 20-something years of service in the armed forces, that he never had a malfunction in any of his bombs. Never. You think that's 100% accuracy? That's extremely good. But his key was, I went back every time and double-checked. You know what? There are some things that we need to go back to an altar and double-check on. There's some things that we need to go back to God and just say, I just want to make sure because I don't want to be wrong in this. Now let me emphasize that continuing to back up and double check and continuing to back up and double check is not successful. At some point in time, amen, you've got to trust in God with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Sometimes you got to walk when you don't feel very successful. Sometimes you got to walk when you don't feel very positive. Sometimes you got to walk when everything doesn't seem like it's going right. But in order to get through the darkness, you've got to go through that darkness. Somebody made a statement one time and said, when going through hell, just don't stop. And that's because life isn't always fair. Life isn't always good, and life has its ups and downs, and life has its turns, and sometimes it turns you upside down. Amen. But in those moments, in those critical moments, there are times that you need to stand still and see the salvation of God. But there's other times you don't just stop and pull up a chair and sit. You got to get through it. You got to get through it. Amen. Praise God. And so what I want to emphasize here tonight is that you may not win every battle that you face and that you go through. Just don't stop. Because success is not measured in a day by day. Success is going to be measured when we get to heaven and we stand before his throne. That's when we know if we've been successful or not. Too many failures down here on earth is going to cause us to not be successful. Amen. But if we just continue to get back up. If you fall down, get back up. The Bible said though a righteous man would fall down 7 times, he's going to get right back up. Get up! Get up! Get up! Some of us are sitting in the valley of despair and despondency. Amen. And God's saying, that's not what I want for success. You got to get up. You got to get up and you got to keep on walking. When nobody seems to be walking, when nobody seems to be encouraging, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. It's not what's happening now, but it's what is going to happen when the trumpet sounds. Praise God. He said, that's when victory, the stamp of victory is going to be applied. The stamp of victory isn't, amen, I'm not looking for assurance on a day by day. And I know there's a lot of people that have to have that. They have to have that constant reassurance, amen, that everything is right and stuff. You know what? I think that there is importance in being sensitive. And we need to be sensitive, because if we are sensitive, then God's going to direct our paths. God's going to help us. God's going to lead us and guide us. God's going to cause us to stop. You might say, you know what? I made a mistake. I need to go this way. I need to change some things up. Then you're being successful. But the stamp of victory is not applied until mortality puts on immortality. And corruption puts on incorruption. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's when he said that's when you're victorious. That's when you're victorious. The song says, I can't even walk without him holding my hands. I mentioned that to him today while I was in prayer and saying, God, I just want you to know I'm 100% dependent upon you. I'm not relying upon all of my years of being in the house of God. I'm not relying on 36 years of having the Holy Ghost. I'm not relying upon anything like that. I want you to know, God, I need you just as much today as I needed you back in 1990. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You young people, you need to hear that and you need to know that. Amen. You don't get to this place that you're mature in God and all of a sudden you don't need him as much as you needed him. Amen. Back four. You listen to somebody that's had a few years and somebody that's got miles underneath the feet and stuff. And some of these elders can even tell you to a greater extent than I could tell you. Amen. But the further we go and the older we get, the more I realize I got to pray more. Amen. I got to get closer to God. Amen. Because I want to be a whole lot closer to heaven than I am to this earth. I want to get as close to heaven as I possibly can, that one day he just says, hey, you know what? You're closer to heaven than you are back to the earth. Why don't you just come on up and be with me? And the stamp of victory is applied. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Now, if you know to do better, and you're one of those hardheads that's just going to do it your way, no matter what is said, no matter what's preached, no matter what the word says, but yet you're just hard-headed and you say, you know what, I'm just going to continue to do it my way. Let me just tell you, you're not doing very good. Yeah, you're not doing very good. Are you wanting self-aggrandizement? Are you wanting a pat on the back? Are you wanting to hear somebody on earth say, you're doing so good? Or are you looking forward to the Savior saying, well done? Because if you're looking forward to the Savior saying, well done, there's some things that you need to back up on and change course on, because you're not going in the right way. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God is not the right way, and it's not going to lead you down the path of success. And the quicker you understand that, the quicker that you realize that, the quicker that you admit that and begin to change course, amen, the quicker you can become successful. And can I persuade you here tonight that you need to become successful as quickly as possible? Because I've got a feeling that the Lord is coming soon. Amen. And all of the world is getting ready to wrap up. It's time to spit white, walk white. Amen. And talk right. It's time to get right with God, be right with God, and stay right with God. I'm not looking for the applause of men. I'm looking for the stamp of victory with God. I went back through the Bible and began to think about some things. And I want you to know that in the line of business that we are in, if success is measured by numbers, then too often God's people were failures. Noah preached for 100 years and had 8. I mean, think Jesus Christ himself had revival in the upper room and had 120. We consider ourselves better than Jesus? Sodom and Gomorrah, they had an intercessor. There's 4 that got out. One of them turned to a pillar of salt. And the other 3 didn't have a great turnout. My understanding was that the land of Babylon was filled full of Jews. Why were there only 3 in the fiery furnace? Why were they so adamant about tearing down one man's prayer life and throwing him into a lion's den? It's because none of the other Jews were so adamant. You say success cannot be measured in numbers. Success's definition is ultimately through the righteous judge. And everybody is in different seasons. I could point out people in this church tonight that you seem to be somewhere along the top of the line as far as margins of success and victory and feeling good about things in life and such. But there's others that seem to be hitting the bottom of the valley. And so, you know what? I thank God that we're not all in the valley at the same time. We're not all in the valley at the same time. The only way we're going to get to the next mountaintop is we got to go through a valley. Thank God that we're not all on the mountaintop at the same time either. We are all on the mountaintop at the same time. We'd all be in the valley at the same time. It's just seasons of life. And so I've looked past over the past 5 years and I've thought to myself, you know, has it been successful? Well, I'm sure that if you ask a few people, they would say, oh, no, that's a failure. But you ask other people and they would say, no, I think we've been very successful. There are several of you here tonight that weren't here when I first got here. And you know what? That's the story of every church. You lose some, you gain some. You want to gain more than you lose. I've buried more people here than I've buried in my entire ministry. Most of them were in the church and some of them weren't in the church, just associated with the church. Seasons. But the Bible said it's to him that endureth till the end. They're the ones that's going to have the mark of success, the mark of victory stamped upon them. I want us to stand here tonight. We're going to get ready to take communion. I want to emphasize to you tonight that you may be here tonight and you may not feel, quote unquote, worthy. Thank God that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said that they shall not eat or drink unworthily. What we do is we begin to measure ourselves and look at ourselves, and we do need to look into ourselves. But some of us would look and say, you know what, I don't feel very successful. God is not necessarily asking a man to be successful, but rather to be faithful. God's more interested in you being faithful than successful. Because if you'll just keep on keeping on, he can help you out of your situation. In the past month, I've talked to several different men of God that have stated that in the past couple of years, well, that the past couple of years have been some of the hardest years of their ministry. A man texted me last night and told me that years 20, 24, and 25 were the two hardest years of his entire life. That's a man that ran the streets of Los Angeles, gangster, carried guns with him everywhere he went, prayed through, God's using him. Said 24 and 25 is the hardest years he's ever been through in his entire life. And I would say that the past 2 to 2.5 years of this church has not been exactly easy. It's been tough. We've seen some of the old pillars of the church pass away. Brother Keith passed away. Brother Tucker passed away. Burying the old saints of God. Anchors, the strongholds, is not always easy for a church. I've had people come in and pray through, and people backslide and leave. We just got to keep on keeping on. I'm not going to say that I wouldn't be here if I didn't feel like revival was imminent. I'd be here whether God, if God just tells me, this is where you got to be, that's where I got to be. But I do feel revival is imminent. I do feel. And being the pastor of the assembly, I have heard things from you about people that you're connected to and people who are about this far from coming into the church. Bible studies that have got positive effects and people that are just so close to coming in. And the enemy knows that. And the enemy is going to fight against that. Because the enemy doesn't want any momentum to be gained. And I believe that God has got great things in store. When I first came here, one of my first drives with Brother Worths, he began to tell me about his vision that he had had for years. So he always envisioned moving the church. Always looked at moving the church. Wanted to move the church. And I just told him, I said, let's keep the vision alive. Let's keep the vision alive. And through the years, God has blessed. God has come through. God is helping us, and God's going to help us even more. And just this little church has put together well over $100,000 in the building fund. You say, well, $100,000 ain't going to get us very much. You never know what God's going to do. It's all in God's hands. And I'm just telling you right now that when God's done with it, he'll get the glory out of it all. And he'll decide how much that we owe on anything. I've seen church buildings bought for $1. $1. Man just having church trying as hard as he could. Little home missions church. Went into a bank to make a deposit. The banker said, are you still looking for a church building? He said, I am. He said, I got one for you for sale. And he said, well, how much do you want for it? I hope and wish that I could buy it. He said, well, can you afford a dollar? He said, you're not serious, are you? He said, no, I'm really serious. If you've got a dollar, I'll sell you an entire building for a dollar. Where's this building at? He began to tell him. He said, it's this bank building that's down there in certain corner and such and this and this and. He said, you sell that building to me for a dollar. He said, for a dollar. They went down, had all the paperwork drawn up, and he put down a dollar and paid for the church. Praise God. A realtor called me the other day, and she said, hey, she said, there's a building that a man said that he would sell you. I said, well, that's good. Where's it at? She told me where it was at, and I'm like, oh, man, that's perfect. That's perfect. How much does he want? She said, $9 million. I said, he better watch out. I didn't tell her, but by the time God's done with him, if God wants that building, God's going to get that building. That's the way that I believe it. If God wants that building, God's going to get that building. That man's involved in tax evasion or whatever it is. I'm not saying that he is. I'm not even implying it. But I'm just saying God is able to pull things out. And before it's all said and done, amen, it could be given to us about a dollar. Praise God. I'm looking forward to the hand of God being in this place. And the touch of God being upon us. Amen. Amen.